Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we talk statistics and what they mean. You know what they say about statistics? Well, since you know, I don't have to tell you. The important thing about statistics are they tell a story. Now, do they tell an accurate story? Not always. But they do give us some insights into some situations that may or may not be sort of nagging you a little bit. And one that was nagging me is quarterbacks. Are they taking more risks this year? Are they running with the ball more? Well, you know, we can get some help from some statistics to figure that one out. You're listening to Candid Frank Live. My name is Frank Sinisi. Welcome to the program. And we will figure out who else is going to be on the show. And it's a volunteer thing where somebody just volunteers to share information with us. Usually there are people who really love to share information. But tonight I'm going to try something different. I'm going to call two people without them knowing I'm going to call them. And hopefully they'll be ready to talk on the air. Both I want to thank for coming to my place and being a big part of our first annual barbecue. And for that, I'm totally grateful because they really gave far more than I expected. One handled the barbecue, which meant, that was one major task I didn't have to worry about. It's always nice when people come to visit and someone is willing to man the barbecue. The family one, my nephew and my brother-in-law offered. So it's been a pretty good streak for me on avoiding the barbecue. Now, having said that, you all know we love operating the barbecue, but when you have a bunch of people over, it's always nice to have someone else take care of it. So here on the Candid Frank Live Show, we consider stats a significant thing. So what I did to start, by priming the pump, how has the CFL changed in 1 year? Well, I do believe it's changed drastically where quarterbacks have been running with the ball. So to help make my point, I went on to CFL.ca, and CFL.ca is where you can go to basically get all the information on the CFL you could possibly want, including a connection to each team in the CFL, including, I don't think the Red Blacks are on there yet. They should be, actually, because CFL.ca, if you want to buy tickets and if you find yourself in a city, and because this program goes across North America and actually goes worldwide, you can find yourself in one of the CFL cities, and before you get there, you can actually purchase some tickets, find out if a team's playing that week, and maybe you can go check out a CFL game. Now, if you think I'm blowing smoke, I got to tell you, I sat beside some gals from Ireland who just dropped by. I went to sit in my buddy Eric Ransom's seat, and there were two gals from Ireland who'd never seen a football game, and for the little time that I was there, I helped them to understand the game of football. I think they picked it up pretty well, yeah. And also we had some Italians that came, were standing outside, and they were going to sit, I guess, in the 200 level. John invited them to sit down in our level. So it's a real thing. Somebody from another country will come to see the Canadian football for the first time. Now, do they know the difference between Canadian and U.S. football, American football? Probably not. But that's not really what's important. What's important is they come here to check out Canadian football in a Canadian city and buy tickets to the CFL. So the CFL.ca is a great place for you to buy tickets to any team in the league. In fact, Toronto's going to be in Winnipeg, and John's been, well, Margaret actually, I guess, is the one that's pushing John to go to Winnipeg when the Argos are there. And, of course, John's one of those guys that has to do things, do it right up. You know what I mean? So he doesn't just want to go to Winnipeg to watch the game. He wants to go to Winnipeg and sit right behind the Argos so that he can support his team, which I totally get. I understand that. I think that's actually common sense, right? So he's willing to spend a tad more money, maybe more than a tad, but more money to get better seats. But the biggest problem is getting a flight there, and, you know, with it only being a few weeks away, some 3 weeks, I guess it is. And so basically, if you like to do that and you're an Argo fan, that's great. Now, if you're obviously a fan, as I said, CFL.ca is great. So I got my stats from there, and I was looking at rushing. Now, in this year's rushing, okay, it is amazing. In the top 15, okay, in this year's rushing, we have, that's receiving, Frank. Go back to rushing, passing, and then go to rushing there in 2013. Let's go to last year first so we can make the point. In the top 13, okay, there were three quarterbacks. Lule in 11, 12, Burris, 13, Durant, okay? And they were the only quarterbacks in the top, I guess, 15. The rest were running backs. This year, Riley's in fifth. The highest was 10th. And there's Lule again, consistent. Durant, consistent again. But add in Goltz and Kolaros. And 15, you got Burris. Imagine that. The difference in the quarterbacks in rushing this year. To improve that point and make it a little better, Riley is a quarterback for Edmonton, as is Hugh Charles. And Riley has run for 530 yards, while Charles has run for 490. So would it be fair to say that quarterbacks are actually running more than they used to? I think that statement is more than accurate. And so, therefore, it comes to mind that in fact, it might have something to do with the fact that more quarterbacks are getting hurt, even though on plays like Ray got hurt, wasn't really him running. But it was him eluding defenders, all right, the on-rushing defenders, and out of the pocket. So are quarterbacks becoming a little more risky, risk-takers in taking risky chances this year more than last year? Well, if the yardage is any indication, it actually is true. Almost twice as many quarterbacks are in the top 15. So if they're rushing more, I mean, it should only follow that they'll get hurt more. But then you've got Riley, who's in there at fifth in rushing. There you go. So it's pretty easy to say that, it is a pretty tough time for quarterbacks because they're being asked to do that kind of thing. Now, Kolaros is in the same boat. He's run further than Kackert. Now, Kackert's been hurt, but one has to realize as well that Kolaros has not played that many games this year. Then Kackert got hurt in game 5 or something like that. And so, therefore, one can only assume that more quarterbacks are going to get hurt if the running game is something that the quarterbacks are contributing to more than they did before. So really, that's an amazing thing to think about. Now, some of the other things that come to mind for me as far as the CFL this year is concerned, you know, there have been a lot of changes. You know, there have been key injuries. Sheets now has been injured. Owens is injured for the Argos. These are guys that, are the head of the class. Cornish last year, won the rushing title. And this year, he's back, basically in the same boat. In fact, this year, I think what's going to help him, of course, is the fact that Sheets was hurt. They both have 8 TDs. Cornish is averaging 6.5 yards, while Sheets is averaging 5.7. Total yards, okay. Sheets is at 1,222. Cornish is at 1,093. So, there's 130 yards there. That can Cornish make up in the next couple of games if Sheets doesn't play in 2 games? Could turn the rushing record race this year into something very interesting. And Cornish is a great running back. He's Canadian, and, he proves that Canadians can run. And it's an awesome thing to see. So basically, statistics can tell a story. And the story is simple. Numbers do translate. Now, this week we've already talked on Monday about our picks for this week, but I'm still interested in the picks. Well, you know what? Should we give one of those guys a call just to see if they answer their phone? You know, I said it on the air, so they might not be surprised. Let's give it a shot. You know who we're going to start with? We're going to start with Chris. Let's give Chris a call and see if he answers his phone. Do you guys think he'll answer his phone? I think he'll answer his phone. This is if he's home. If he's home, he'll answer. If he isn't home, he can't answer, can he? But we'll see. We'll give it a shot, and we'll see what happens. So as I was saying, the CFL this year is very interesting. Now, have you got your ideas on who you think? Well, I did my picks. I picked all the home teams. As far as being the ones that'll win this week. And the Argos are on the road. So, yeah, I'm kind of betting against the Argos. And I have to admit, it's because of the team they're going to play. I have been promoting Edmonton as being the team of the second half. And it's my hope that that is true. And I believe it may very well be. They're a good club. And they've had a tough time. You know, the GM made a mistake. The team has overcome that mistake to do some things that are really good. And that's, I think, what really matters is that the team has basically started to play behind Riley. And the key player, and I think the most valuable player right now at this time in the season, I would have to give to Riley. Anybody disagree with that? I don't hear anybody disagreeing, so basically I'm going to assume, let's see if he's there, if it's his answering machine, let's find out. Hello? That's us,
if
we're leaving a message.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3. To continue recording from where you left off, press 4.
What do you guys think we should do? Well, we'll just hang up. So basically, I think Riley's going to be the MVP. And if he continues this way, and against the Argos, if the Argos can shut him down, they'll also shut down probably the most valuable player in the league. He has done for Edmonton what many felt was abandoned with the trade of Ricky Ray to the Argonauts. And he really is, I respect the kid so much. I think he's suicidal, personally. In my opinion, his play is suicidal. He is willing to do anything to gain a couple extra yards, and he's willing to do anything to move the football. And it's almost created a new wave of quarterbacks in the CFL that like to run. You know, we've had historically in the CFL a lot of quarterbacks that were mobile and able to avoid. Condrich Holloway comes to mind. You know, Tom Clements, smaller quarterbacks that were able to get out of the pocket and, you know, make great passes. Ron Lancaster, you know, to mention a Canadian. So really, it's not really a surprise in the CFL that a quarterback runs. We all have to remember that there's only 2 plays to make 10 yards in the Canadian Football League, whereas there are 3 in the NFL. So it means that the ball has to advance. You know, 2 and out is something you don't want to be a part of if you're a CFL team. That is basically a death knell. So you have to advance the ball. Can you always advance it by passing? Well, you can. You know, teams have proven it over and over again. But if everyone knows you're going to pass, then the defenses have a, you know, and the defenses have done a far better job this year. I've heard people I trust, whose opinions I trust, mention how tough the defenses have been this year in the CFL, and that's a positive thing. But it also means that there has to be an adjustment. And that adjustment, I think, this year, because the defenses have been so good, quarterbacks running with the ball have been an option, an option that has been used often. And I don't suspect that it won't be used less than it has already. Will it be used more? Well, only in the next few games will tell. So as far as this week's games are concerned, just to remind you, Some people will be suggesting that they want some of what I'm smoking because, simply put, the fact that I'm saying that Edmonton will beat the Argos in Edmonton. Well, you know, I really can't help it. To me, I see in Edmonton a team improving immensely week after week, and they've overcome a couple of brain cramps, as I said, by management. So this week, we find ourselves in week 14, and of course, each team's only played 12 games thus far because of the bye week. We see BC and Winnipeg. So BC, I don't know, with what you've seen with BC and what I've seen with BC, I've seen a team that has been inconsistent, better at home, and hasn't really done well on the road. Winnipeg, the team they're playing, finally won a game a couple of weeks ago at home. But Winnipeg is a team that you want inconsistency. They don't even have consistency at home, and they've only won once at home. And they look like they might be righting their ship or pointing their plane in the right direction, but it seems that that plane was made out of paper because, boy, did it nosedive the last couple of weeks. Amazingly, this team has had great spurts of, much like Edmonton earlier in the season, where Edmonton looked good for part of a game, but not enough to win. Winnipeg has basically taken that mantle and probably been more consistent. Their inconsistency has been very consistent. Calgary's in Hamilton. Now, Hamilton is in tough because they want to guarantee a playoff spot. And for them to do so, they're going to have to win a few games here. And an important game here is Calgary. With Montreal having difficulty and Edmonton nipping at Montreal's heels one game behind, it's quite clear that it's very possible that the Edmonton Eskimos could be the crossover team this year and overtake Montreal. And as well as Edmonton's been playing this season with a lot of hard luck stories, I think Hamilton would like to be the home team, and to do so, they're going to need to win a few more games. This week, what I like that they did this week is they brought in a quarterback from Texas. And what is this about Texas quarterbacks? Big kid. Let me get his information because I'm telling you, this is a great move. And here he is, Stephen McGee. Okay. Tell you a little bit about him. Okay, they signed him this week, and he's 6'3", great size, and he's a 218-pound native of Round Rock, Texas. And the CFL loves Texas quarterbacks. They're all over the place. And, well, in fact, Kolaros here in Toronto is a Texas boy. So he's been with the Dallas Cowboys for 3 seasons. He attended training camp with the Houston Texans earlier this year. And the Cowboys picked him in the fourth round, 101st overall in the 2009 NFL draft. And he had 3 appearances with the Cowboys, and he passed for 420 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he ran 102 yards. So you see, he fits into that mold I'm talking about where the quarterbacks are mobile here in the CFL. Now, he also, in NCAA at Texas A&M, he threw for 5,475 yards and 28 touchdowns. And he rushed for half that, 2,196 yards, and scored 11 touchdowns himself. So you see, it continues. The quarterbacks in the CFL, the young quarterbacks are going to be real good. And that extra dimension of being able to run, you know, is another factor in why the young quarterbacks are being successful right now. We've seen them, we've watched them, and it's been a real pleasure to be a part of. So, in my opinion, good move for Hamilton. And I'm telling you, Burris and a lot of these older quarterbacks, even Ray, you know, there's a lot of young bucks out there that that are knocking on the door. And this year, they've knocked down the door. Look at the quarterback here in Toronto, Kolaros, Offensive Player of the Week. Excuse me, that's a pretty good award, and that's a pretty good, well, it's a lot of proof that, you know, that, in fact, the quarterbacks, the young ones at least, are really knocking on the door. And our friends that we love so much, like Ray and Burris and Lule and all these young quarterbacks that are coming in, are threatening these veterans. And it wasn't long ago that Lule was a young quarterback. So, but, you know, he was one of the first that did a lot of running. And I think his success has been duplicated, replicated, whatever. But the important thing is they've done a great job in making quarterbacks in the CFL effective. And by that, I mean, of course, the coaching staffs, which I believe have improved immensely in the CFL over the past few years. The way they've been teaching quarterbacks and the way defenses are so successful, and you know, it's been a great season thus far, and I'm sure it's only going to get better. What do you think? You can call us at 714-242-5250, or you can text me, message me in Facebook, Candid Frank Live, and I'll call the number that you message me with. How's that? It's up to you guys. Hope we enjoy the day.
1, 2, 3. We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
One, two, three.
We're the Argo Cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Go Frank!
Go Frank!
There you go, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you,
Sis. Hey, Argo lifers, Argo fans, the Toronto Argonauts fan cruise is on the horizon. 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise, February 1st through 8th. Argo fans, do you want to live it up? The ultimate cruise party on the high seas may be just what you need. Join reigning CFL Coach of the Year Scott Milanovic, the Grey Cup winning quarterback Ricky Ray, and members of the 2013 Argos cheerleaders on a 7-night voyage to some of the most exotic destinations in the Caribbean. Join the fun as we kick off the Argos Fan Cruise Week in Miami, Florida, with an action-packed tailgate party, including your newest friends. The party continues on board the Celebrity Reflection with exclusive events throughout the week that will have everyone talking. There is no better way than to spend the week by soaking up the sun, enjoying fine cuisine, hitting up the gym or spa, or simply partying the night away. Get ready to put your game face on and join the fun. For more information on pricing or to book, please call 416-929-1980, 416-929-1980, or toll-free 1-877-510-2751. That's 1-877-510-2751. Book early, because this is one huddle you can be a part of with the Toronto Argonauts. One of the great quarterbacks in CFL history has, in Southern Ontario, spent a lot of time, and he's moving across the country, creating interest and a method for training young quarterbacks that are Canadian, with the hopes of helping to train them in a manner that gives them a bigger chance to play in the CFL. His name's Damon Allen.
Good memories being in Argo and all.
Of course it does. I mean, I'm a big fan of the CFL and spent many years and gave my heart and soul to the game. And so it's really nice, you know, the fact that I live out here in Oakville, it's really nice to come out and support, you know, now I'm alumni. So, but I'm alumni of many different teams, but this is where I live right now. So.
One thing that must happen in Oakville and Burlington, you guys could probably have enough players to play a game between Oakville and Burlington, between all the ex and alumni players that live in the vicinity.
That is absolutely true, and Oakville would have a pretty good team.
I'm sure they would. I know they'd have a good quarterback. Damon, you really, the fans love you. They haven't forgotten you at all. We think of you all the time, and we wonder what you're doing. What are you doing now?
Well, right now I'm self-employed and independent, and the great thing about that is, you know, I have a high school quarterback challenge that I'm trying to grow nationally, and I'm really excited about the years I've done the event here in Toronto, and we just launched BC and Saskatchewan, and so eventually what I would like to be a national program, and what the program is all about is it gathers high school quarterbacks, and they compete at a four-event challenge, which has something to do with throwing the football and hitting moving targets and all those things. And the winners receive university scholarships. And so it'll be really nice as I continue to grow it from city to city, to impact young kids, and also impacting the quarterback position in Canada.
I understand also you're working with an Olympic gold medalist, Special Olympics gold medalist, working with you on that.
Oh, absolutely, man, especially because it has something to do with athletes against bullies. And he is an athlete, and what a wonderful man he is, and really looking forward to the continue the work and effort. And that's athletes all across sport here in Canada. You know, bullying is really a sensitive topic, and we don't want to lose and continue to lose lives because of bullying. So I'm really thankful that you know, all these athletes can come on board for a really good cause. That's athletes against bullying.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that we promote on our program. One thing, what about this thing with the universities, the CIS, and the CFL teams now bringing in quarterbacks to camp? That's much like what you were talking about. That would work well with what you're doing, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. As it continues to evolve and the CFL starts to really take consideration about the quarterback position and giving them the opportunity, because it hasn't been done in many years, and there's been flashes of brilliance. But, you know, if you have to continue to bring up the great Russ Jackson as a model and example, then there is a level and there's a gap that's missing with the rest of the quarterbacks. And so, my hope is that we'll continue to see opportunities for the Canadian quarterback to play. And, you know, in result, I mean, that will also help my academy and training and all those things. And now, because young kids will have something to aspire to.
I hope I'll give you my card, and you can send me any information that you have there, and we'll, however you want, you can send it to me. I've heard about the program, and the program will be going across the country. It's just that you just started now with BC and Saskatchewan.
Yes, I just started launching this year, and so hopefully next year we'll launch two more cities, and eventually right now that, we had to go nationally to be able to get, national sponsorship and all those things. So I'm really excited about the program and what it gives young kids and young quarterbacks the opportunity to showcase their skill, but at the same time further their education. And, that's, part of, what I believe in, young kids being involved in sport and also education.
What is it about CFL players that has that caring attitude that you don't see? I'm not saying it doesn't exist with other leagues or teams, but in the CFL, you seem to have a bunch of guys who really care about the community. Why is that? I'm trying to figure out, is it because they're not overpaid? I don't know. What reason is it?
Well, it's a combination. It's a community-based league as well. We're probably the most accessible players in North America when it comes to community work and involvement.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's on the mindset. And that's part of what the game is all about. I mean, that's why, we always talk about the Grey Cup being the people's cup, because anybody can call the CFL the Hall of Fame and say, we want to purchase the cup and rent it out for a day. And, it's not. I don't believe it's not too – that happens too often in any other sport.
Anytime you want to come and say hello to Section 134, we're the Argo Lifers. We enjoy, you, as far as we're concerned, doesn't matter how many teams you've played on, you're an Argo Lifer too.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I do feel like I'm an Argo Lifer, and we'll always remember my experience here in Toronto and how the fans across Ontario have treated me and welcomed me into the city of Toronto. And yeah, I'm a big fan of this city and this football.
Thank you for everything, truly.
Thank you.
And thanks
good.
For all the great memories.
Appreciate
well.
It very much.
Really do appreciate
all
it.
Right.
Thank you, sir. Damon Allen.
It is a first down for Ottawa. The football at the 24 of Saskatchewan. Clements coming back to throw again. Looking. Gets all kinds of protection. Throws into the end zone for Gabriel. Touchdown!
In 1898, the Ottawa Football Club adopted the red and black of the Canadians that fought with Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in the Spanish-American War. They also adopted the name. Et c'est à partir de ces débuts modestes que le rouge et noir a été associé à la ville d'Ottawa. the Carleton Ravens, Ottawa Fury FC, Ottawa 67s, and the Ottawa Senators have all adopted the colors and built their own history and traditions. Les Le Rouge et Noir se retrouvent d'abord sur les chandails des équipes d'Ottawa dans la LCF. Les couleurs de Russ Jackson et de Tony Gabriel. To all who have worn the red and black. À tous ceux qui ont porté le rouge et noir, who have battled on the gridiron on behalf of our great city, et qui se sont battus sur le terrain au nom de notre belle ville. We honor your tradition. Nous préservons votre tradition. As we begin to forge our own, et nous commençons à forger la nôtre. Like the blades that cut timber in the upper Ottawa Valley, and the men who rode them down the Ottawa River past the locks of Bytown. We are balanced, dangerous, unstoppable. Nous sommes les Rouge et Noir d'Ottawa. We are the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Does that not excite you? So I'm passing so far. You got Burris leading, not much different than last year. But here's Riley, Mike Riley. He's my pick for most valuable player if they were to vote today. If they were to vote today. Or maybe even after this week, because if he ends up bringing his team to a position of equity with the Montreal Alouettes in the wins and losses, in other words, put himself in a playoff spot in the next week or two, it's going to cement his most valuable, yes, player status, in my opinion. Darian Durant, he plays for Saskatchewan, of course. Now, so Burris has got a rating of 100.2. Riley has a rating of 95.2. Durant has a rating of 106.6. Lule, 94.7. Ricky Ray, of course, injured, 134. Kolaros, 105. And you can see, you know, he's nip and tuck with Durant. And, you know, the part that I find interesting is that he has done all this in a very short time. In a very short time, he has amassed some interesting numbers. Now, I know we all like to think that the defense has been carrying the Argos through, but one has to wonder because that rating tells you that he's a pretty good quarterback. So he's had 145 completions, three less than Ricky Ray. All right, there you go. Now, he's thrown four interceptions, and we all know that Ricky Ray is one of very few quarterbacks that hasn't thrown a pick this year. Burris leads with 12, to give you an idea. Riley, right in there, you know, with Lule. Lule at 11 and Riley at 10. So, you know, Durant has jeepers. In a matter of a couple of games, he ended up with five. He had none until a little while ago, and now the Argos, I think they picked three on him, and he has five in total. So, you know, be grateful he's not in the East or, you know, he would have a lot more interceptions. So, yeah, so when you look at statistics, once again, Burris looks very effective. But, unfortunately, the win totals don't show off as well, right? Whereas you've got Kolaros and Ray in there with great wins. Durant as well, of course. Just imagine now, where's Calgary in that mix? They're probably the best team in the CFL, at least if you don't put so much weight on that victory the Argonauts had against them last weekend. Kevin Glenn, you know, is in seventh, and he's got a rating of 98.2. So, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell, he's got a rating of 113.7. And, you know, but he's down there with 92 completions, well below everybody else. Now, that's mostly because he hasn't done as much. So, you see, well, then you got Drew Tate. I mean, hasn't played much. Great rating. You know, it's funny. Glenn's done most of the quarterbacking for Calgary, but the better ratings are the other two quarterbacks they have. I don't know what that means, but, you know, winning is about winning. That's what winning's about. Winning's about winning. Statistics, they help you understand what a player can do, but they don't, or a team can do, but they don't really tell the whole story. Well, let's go to receiving yards, okay? Is anyone surprised that Fred Stamps leads the league right now? Average 18.8 yards for his receptions. Number one in the league. Surprised? I don't think so. I think Stamps is well worth his ability and his statistics. So then you got Green, Ellingson, Getzlaff, Dury, Grant, and Smith with Moore from BC. And, of course, Toronto's Chad Owens has dropped a lot of spots, mostly because he's been injured. The same way you look down about 20 down, you'll see G. Roy Simon. He's down there as well. Are there any receivers that you find as surprising being that far down? Well, Fantuz hasn't played enough. So Arlen Bruce, he might be. Dressler, Marquay McDaniel, Arsenault's down, you know, below Owens. The receiving hasn't, it's amazing. This year, I don't think the receiving has been as good and as consistent as it has been in past years. Is it because the quarterbacks are running a lot more? We discussed the fact that, you know, the quarterbacks are in the top 15. There's 4, 6, 7 in the top 16 this year, quarterbacks. That's almost half our quarterbacks. Imagine. I still find that hard to believe. You know, but statistics don't lie. They don't always tell the truth, but they don't lie. So you've got tackles, and that's special teams and stuff like that. You've got Cox, Montreal, with 86, well ahead of everyone else. Mwamba of Hamilton, Mwamba of Winnipeg, Munoz of Edmonton, Yargos, McCune, Big Hill, B.C., Washington, or Winnipeg, Marsh, B.C. These are all guys that, you know, are there on special teams, and that's and defenses, yeah. And here's the part that I find very interesting. Who do you think the best defenders at catching interceptions are? Edmonton's Thompson has 3. Parks of BC has 3. Brown of Saskatchewan, as does Anderson of Saskatchewan. And I'm sure every time Anderson makes an interception, he has something to say. Calgary, Bennett, Toronto, Watkins, and Tisdale of Montreal. They all have 3. You know, it is important. Defense wins championships, everybody always says. In the CFL, I think all 3 phases of the game, if you really do well in one phase and overcome adversity in one phase and hold your opposition at bay with one phase, you can win a Grey Cup. But then again, you still have to play well in the other phases. So, yes, that's, you know, the interceptions this year, you know, I find that the defense is more or less, I think the biggest thing with the defense is this year, more than interceptions and those kinds of plays, it's the two and outs that I think have been a big problem for most of the CFL teams that are having problems. I bet you the two and outs are higher this year than they were last year, but I can't find that statistic, so you're just going to have to take my word for it. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back after this. Yeah, why not? Here we go.
We've got a winner, yeah, we're giving all we got that ride. Brian Clough, defensive line coach for the Guelph Griffins and the new home, I guess, of the Ticats. First of all, we're here at Argo practice. I might as well start with the Ticats. So how do you like the new arrangement?
You know what? It's fantastic. I mean, the University of Guelph, the facility that the Ticats have, you know, what they've added into our facility is fantastic. So we're pretty excited about it at the university.
Okay, let's talk about the game and how it stands in the CIS right now. You're about to start a new season. You're a little ways away from the intense part of the season. You're basically getting ready for the season. Where are you at?
Well, our season starts on training camp starts on the 15th of August, and so our kids are off. They're training and they're working out and getting ready for that season when that comes in a couple of months. And they're looking forward to it though.
Is this part of the preparation for you've had some linemen here, some of your players? Are they seeing how it's done, or what's the motivation for bringing them here?
Well, they just wanted to come and watch the pros, watch training camp, and watch a practice, and that's what we're doing here today with the Argos. There's four or five of these guys that play defensive line. They just want to see how the pros prepare for games, the speed that they their hands and their feet and the speed that they play the game at. And I think those are good things for our young players to see, and hopefully they carry that over and you know, incorporate that into their performance and their play.
Also giving a good indication why you have to be ready when you're physically and mentally ready when you come to camp.
Yeah, I mean, they can clearly see here with the Argos, I mean, it's about speed. You got to be fast. You got to be able to run. And, you know, so that's a message I'm sure that they'll take away with them.
Now, what do you get from this yourself?
You know what? Professional development, every time you come and watch the next level, right? So, I mean, talking to Coach Filian from the defensive line, watching what Chris Jones is doing defensively, and those things are all good. Watch how they transition from section practice, throw practice, are you know, things that I can take back as a coach. So it's professional development for me as well.
Okay, now the CIS has done some good work. The CFL's made a bit of a comeback. The CIS is growing. The Vanier Cup now is on its own, where the reason they brought it in with the CFL was to help motivate people to buy tickets, to make it more publicly known. Now it seems even the CIS now has really developed the following, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm biased. I mean, I've played CIS football, and I've coached it for a long time at the University of Guelph, and it's a fantastic game. And so the CIS is growing and getting bigger and better, and facilities and coaching and competition, and you can see the caliber of the players that graduate from the CIS into the CFL. I mean, it's I don't know if it's ever been better. I mean, our OUA league is, you know, Carleton Ravens are being added into our league, and that's a wonderful thing for us. So football's, I think, is on the rise.
Now, you know, the football as far as playing for the younger levels, where are some of the places, advice you have if parents have a child they'd like to bring into football? I know Burlington is got full of Oakville, Mississauga. Are there places to play everywhere in Ontario and in Canada as far as, to your knowledge? I don't expect you to have all the answers.
From what I understand, I mean, football is growing in all across the country. I know in Quebec and in Saskatchewan, they're football crazy. I know in Ontario, things are increasing. I know I hear of programs being started for, you know, six-on-six kind of programs where maybe they can't draw a whole roster of kids, but they play six-on-six. And I know the flag football, I mean, isn't growing. We run flag football camps at the University of Guelph, and, you know, a couple years back, we didn't have those. And our high school camp that we run is you know, increasing in numbers. So my understanding is that football is growing at the junior levels. I know the OFA is doing a great job of putting together programs and clinics and you know, so these things are all very, very beneficial for the growth of football in the province, and I'm sure it's the same across the country.
Coach Clough, one last question. How has the CIS changed from the time that you played to today?
Yeah, you know, a lot of things, right? I mean, I played in the mid-80s at the University of Guelph, and I mean, just the sheer number of CIS teams, the facilities, the commitment that athletic departments have made to the resources that they provided, but the commitment in terms of personnel. I mean, it's really very, very professional at the CIS level, and you know, I think the benefit is that the fans and the university and the student body, everybody benefits by seeing that product.
Brian Clough, defensive line coach.
Yeah.
I don't want to steal anybody's thunder.
There you go.
Defensive line coach for the Guelph Griffins.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate
it. My pleasure, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. That was very, very appreciated.
Well, I'm glad he appreciates that. So in the AUS, Katy is leading with a 7-1 record. St. Mary's in second with a 6-2 record. St. FX, 2-6. Mount Allison, not having such a good year, 0-8. And in the Canada West, Calgary, no surprise, in first, 8-0. Saskatchewan, 5-3, along with Regina. Manitoba at 4-4. Alberta, 2-6. And UBC, unfortunately, at 0-8. Now, here in Ontario, Western and McMaster are at 7-1. Queens is at 6-2, while Ottawa and Windsor are at 5-3. Laurier at 4-4. And Toronto, doing a great job of advancing to 3-5. Believe me, that's a good deal. Guelph, 2-6. York is 1-7. Waterloo, 0-8. Now, Laval, as usual, leading in the RSEQ. And they're at 8-1. Sherbrooke, 7-2. Montreal at 6-3, Concordia at 4-5, Bishops at 3-6, and McGill is at, well, they haven't won yet. They've lost 9. So in the CIS this year, there are some great young players, and these are the players that will be coming in the future to the CFL. And we'll be covering the ones that are, well, let's see, who do we have that's, I don't know. Do you want to look at some of the? We'll save it for next time. Yeah, let's save it for next time. So the Canadian football is in pretty good shape, and there are a lot of and if you check out the Argo site, you will see that they have a connection with a lot of community teams, and the community teams that. The minor football associations that maybe we'll give them a mention. And here in Mississauga, the Mississauga Football League, they're for kids 7 to 12 and 9 to 17. You've got the Bucks of York Simcoe, the Greater Toronto Football League, the Super Elite Football League, the North Halton Crimson Tide, the Thunder of Scarborough. Kitchener-Waterloo has the TCM TFA. The Dolphins, it's their 40th anniversary. They're in Durham region. So a lot of places to play football. And the Outlaws, who are they're in Orangeville. So there's a lot of places that football is being played right now, and a lot of the leagues will be winding down soon. And it'll be a great year again for football in Canada. And hopefully you're enjoying the football season with the CFL, and as I said, it's a great year in the CFL, and who would know better? Lance Brown.
Well, here we are at the Argo practice, and always at the Argo practice, there's always people that support and or cover the Toronto Argos. Lance Brown is a big fan of the Toronto Argonauts, as well as a CTV sportscaster. Lance Brown, pleasure to meet you, first of all, and thank you for all the good work you've done.
Thanks, Frank. It's my pleasure to talk to you.
I bet it is. It usually is for everyone.
No? Yeah.
You know, because I'm relaxed. You know, it's really nice to see the game back again for another year. How about you? First practice or first report?
We're actually doing something. Chad Cackert's going to do a sportscast tonight. So we had Ricky Ray do it a couple years ago, and then Chad Owens did it last year. So it's Cackert's turn this year. So I'm going to set it up. We're going to ask the other guys about his ability to do it, and then we're going to find out what his ability to do it is like. So.
You know what you should do, Lance? I want to make sure he doesn't hear me.
Talk to Swayze.
No. Get Cackert a piano and have him do it with
the
piano.
I've heard he's good, eh?
Yeah, he's supposed to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to do that. We have one somewhere. I've got a grand somewhere.
Okay, I was kidding.
No, but I know he plays.
Yeah, no, he plays very well. And, I found out from one of his friends on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And we sort of gagged him and he came on. Never mind. Anyway,
yeah.
We digress.
Did he play?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't play?
Ah,
okay.
Oh, no, he didn't. He wasn't ready for it. No, I wouldn't recommend it. And also, okay. don't mention anything. Like, don't make any cracks at him and say, hey, listen, Chad, are you standing up?
Yeah, I'm not going
those kind of those kind of ones, too, don't go over well either.
He's tougher than me. I'm not going to mess with that.
He'll run right through us.
Yeah.
And I'm older than you are. No, well, yeah, I'm older than you are. I'm older than hell. Anyway. You know, it's a great season, a new season. You have the defending Grey Cup champions. How much does that enhance your broadcast, do you think? How helpful is that?
Well, I think it's great to have a Grey Cup champion in Toronto. And I, They were only 9-9 last year, I was saying to one of the camera guys, and it'll be interesting to see how they start this year. And as defending champions, it'll be interesting to see how teams like Hamilton, for example, and others, Hamilton first, play them, and whether they play them a little bit differently and maybe a little tougher than they did before. I don't know whether that's possible. I mean, Montreal's got something to prove after the way that they lost last year in the playoffs. So it'll be a really interesting year. It's Ricky's second, so there's lots to look forward to here. A few changes, but not a lot, which is nice for the fans because people recognize guys like, you know, the two Chads I'm talking about and Ricky for three. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always great. I love the CFL. You're right. I grew up in Edmonton and covered them there for years, and I worked in Regina and Vancouver and did the same thing. So, yeah, this is my league, and I love this game.
This is a tough town to lace a stake somehow in a sporting team. If it isn't the league, some people suggest actually it's a Leaf town and everything else is just secondary. But now it seems the Blue Jays are starting to work things out. This team has won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a chance, and I remember listening to you on the broadcast when the Argos won the Grey Cup. One of the things you said was, well, it was nice to have a winner in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been really nice.
It is. It's great. I think less with the Blue Jays, these guys are the flavor of the month. It's a Leafs town whether they win or lose. But for the Argos, if they're winning, it's great. They have more support, and the same is true of the Blue Jays. But I think they've been around longer than the Blue Jays have. So the Blue Jays are winning, people go. The Blue Jays don't win, people don't go. Here, I think you've still got the same sort of core group of fans that are here. I don't think it's a great number, but the CFL, it's like NASCAR. People who like the CFL, they really like the CFL. And NASCAR fans are like that. They love their sport.
Fanaticism at its best.
Well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, we could always use more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, part of our group, we're in section 134B, our aim is to be as boisterous and loud as we can be.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to change the image of mm-hmm. Toronto. We've got an image, it doesn't matter which sport you talk about, for sitting on our hands.
Yeah.
That's not to suggest, this isn't a,
until
you know,
it matters. When it matters, people don't. I was at the Grey Cup last year, and now there were fans.
So was
everywhere.
I. Was great, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? When it matters, I talked to Dion Phaneuf about that. I'm digressing, but I talked
That's
to
cool.
Dion Phaneuf this year after their playoff run the first day after when they allowed the media back in and they were still so devastated. But I asked him, I said, had you ever experienced something like that? And he said no. And he wanted to say, went on to thank the fans of Toronto and everything else. And I knew he hadn't. And I knew most of them had never seen that sort of thing before.
Absolutely.
And I said, well, now you know. And he smiled and said, yeah, I do. And he laughed. Because that's Toronto at its best when it matters. And it mattered last year in the Grey Cup.
When it's given a chance to be a fan and to be proud of the team. Let's face it, how can you get excited for a team that's 3-13 or a hockey team that's 35-50? You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get excited. It's hard. Toronto fans haven't been given the kind of opportunity to show their colors. I think the only, in my opinion, and I don't mind digressing either, because we're a fan group. I believe the best fans who don't need to win, who are excited and the intensity level is always high, is basketball. When you go to a basketball game, the intensity is much higher than it is at any other sporting event. When you relate when we make the correlation between winning and not winning, you know, they're very, because they're a younger group of fans. You alluded to it, so we jump back to the CFL. The biggest problem with the CFL is I'm a fan, and I'm the generation of the fan.
Yeah.
And the biggest struggle that they have, I guess, is bringing the youth in.
Yeah.
And the theory is that the fans they need to get at are the ones that play the game.
Well,
and the game's very popular.
They need a new stadium.
Absolutely.
If they get a new stadium and they can appeal to the younger group as they have in Montreal, I think more than they have in Toronto, then that'll make a significant difference. And, you know, people will give it a chance, and when they give it a chance and have a good time and I think enjoy football as it's meant to be played anyway, which for the most part is outdoors, especially on a nice day. You don't want to be inside. I know when I worked in Vancouver, BC Place did not have a retractable roof. It was a dome stadium, and it was one of the worst places you could be on a nice day in Vancouver because it's a beautiful city. Well, the same's true here. And, you know, that little experiment that they did at Varsity, I don't know how successful they would deem that, but it was nice to be outdoors on a beautiful summer night watching football, and that's what they have to get back to. So I think if they do that, you know, I don't know whether it's build it and they will come, but I certainly don't think that'll hurt.
Build it, they'll know they're here.
Yeah.
And they'll have control, and that's the biggest thing the Argos don't have right now is their secondary. The Blue Jays, you know, basically lay out their schedule, and then the Argos have to, you know, continuity is a big thing in anything. You know, like, you can't change your broadcast time from 6:30 to 7:30
to 5:30, if they, you're not going to have your following, no matter how good looking you are and how nice you sound.
Yeah, well, that's not, yeah.
Oh, no, trust me. I'm standing beside you, ladies and gentlemen. He's a good looking guy, and you know it.
Well,
without makeup,
before
even.
I did this.
Well, no, you don't have any makeup right now. Lance, thank you for the time, and best wishes to you and your family, and obviously CTV, the CTV family, and thanks for all the wonderful broadcasts and the support that you've given the fans and made us feel important,
well,
even when it comes to
the CFO. Very gracious. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah. That was a little bit of sucking up to him, but you know what? He deserved it. Because, these guys are the face of Toronto when it comes to sports. And I say guys like him because he's not a negative Nelly. There are a lot of negative Nellies in Toronto. And you've heard us talk about the CFL and the negative attitude that they've been given. And it's refreshing to listen to people who speak positively about the CFL and not negatively. I hope you've enjoyed what we've tried to do here on Candid Frank Live. I know I enjoy going to the games, and it's always a privilege to meet people who love the CFL. The passion that you have is outstanding, and I truly appreciate the passion that you have. And, it's important that we all understand that the Canadian Football League is a Canadian league where a Canadian team wins a championship. And, of course, to do so, you've got to beat another Canadian team. I'm not downplaying when we had American teams in the CFL. I'm just trying to build up the fact that it really is nice. And it was awesome to be at the Rogers Centre, otherwise known as the Sky Dome, to watch the Toronto Argonauts beat the Calgary Stampeders in the Grey Cup. And this year, when the game is played in Saskatchewan and Regina in Mosaic Stadium, whichever Canadian team is meeting whichever Canadian team, it's going to be awesome because it is Canada at its best. And the CFL at Grey Cup time is one of the greatest times of the year. It's one of the greatest sporting events. The numbers proved over and over. When you look at statistics, again, we started the show with statistics. I'll end it with statistics by saying that the numbers of people that watch the Grey Cup are great. They're wonderful numbers. They compete with the Stanley Cup. They compete with any other sporting event. I dare say, considering, the attention and advertising and promotion the NFL gets and the Super Bowl gets, I think the Grey Cup does it on sheer love and devotion to our country. And nothing makes a Canadian prouder than being able to sit in a Canadian stadium watching two Canadian teams battle it out. And the most proud moment of all, if you're a local crazy guy like I'm a crazy Toronto fan, born and raised in Toronto, watching Toronto win is a glorious feeling. It's a feeling that can't be matched. It just can't. And so I enjoy it, and I hope you do too. And all you have to do is go to CFL.ca. If you're listening to this program, you can buy some tickets to any city in Canada, in Toronto as well. Give a call, give a chance, and check out the CFL. Mind you, there are some places it'll be hard to get a ticket, namely Regina. But I think you can pretty much buy tickets anywhere. The Grey Cup is already sold out, just to give you an indication of how important the Grey Cup is. The places to stay are almost sold out. They're building a brand new hotel in Regina to accommodate more CFL fans coming in. It is going to be an adventure. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, we're at 8-4. The Argos are 8-4. That's 12 games. They've got not many games left, Another six games, and then we get into the playoffs, folks, and it's going to get real interesting. So listen, I'm going to cut off the show at this point. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Hope you enjoyed the program today, and we're on again on Friday with Aaron, where we'll be talking about stuff, just stuff. And some of it will be CFL. Thanks for tuning in.